Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Psalms tonight. Psalm 139, if you would please. Find your place there. A couple of weeks ago, I was privileged to preach at a camp for teenagers. And one of the messages that I preached was out of Psalm 139. And I'm not going to preach to you that same message, but there were some truths that the Lord just kind of brought out to me as I was dealing with the subject that I was dealing with that I really believe would be helpful to us as a church as we consider these things together. And I know I've preached from Psalm 139 before, and I don't intend to preach that message again either, although there probably will be some overlap, but you're just going to have to deal with that. Psalm 139, if you're there, would you stand with me as we read the scripture together tonight? Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. That's a really important truth for you to know. God knows everything about you. But it's not just that He knows. He does know because He's omniscient. But it specifically says, Thou hast searched me. That means that He's put specific intention into knowing you. Verse 2, Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. What a powerful psalm. As David is expressing to the Lord, and I, by the way, I love this. Again, we've been talking about prayer, and the issue of prayer and learning how to pray from the scriptures, here is a prayer where David is talking to God and telling God everything that God already knows. But he's communicating with God about how much God loves him and how much God knows about him, how much God cares about him. And he's saying things, it's almost as if as David is praying this to the Lord, he's expressing to God just how overwhelmed he is by the thought that a great God would care about him. That the God who knows everything would invest, if we can use the term, invest time in knowing him on a very personal and intimate level. There's so many things that we could say about this psalm if we just took the time to go through it verse by verse. It talks about the perception or the knowledge of God about you, understanding everything about you. There's not a word in your tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He talks about his protection as he says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. It's this picture of as I walk the course of life, God goes before me and he goes behind me. And it's not just that he's there with me, he's actually put his hand upon me. And that in itself, he talks a lot in this passage about darkness and being in places where a person would feel all alone and feel like they're separated from God. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where it was so dark you couldn't even see anyone around you. Imagine being walking maybe down a dark street or through the woods at night as a child, and your father is there with you and you know he's there, but you can't see him. And so in order to comfort you, he lays his hand upon you. David says, you've beset me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. And then he says in verses 7 through, 12? He speaks of the presence of God, that you cannot escape God. There's nowhere you can go that God is not there. And that's a wonderful truth for you to know, friend. You're in the house of God tonight, and God has promised that his presence would be here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But tonight, when you go home and you lay in bed awake tonight with all of your fears and worries and cares that burden you down, excuse me, and all the places that your mind takes you that you really ought not be going, you can know this, God is there too. He's promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He speaks of God's possession of him. In verse 13, thou hast possessed my reins. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That word reins, it's an interesting word in the Psalms that appears several times. And it often speaks of the direction of the Lord in a person's life. But it's not reins like like the horse's reins, you know. It actually is the word, we get our word renal from it. It speaks of your kidneys. And it's this expression of your innermost being. God is involved in everything in your life. Thou hast possessed my reins. And then he speaks of God's plan, and he describes the creation of him. And how God knew everything about him before he was even made. That even in his mother's womb, he covered him and protected him and recorded all of his members, all of the parts of his body, while they were still being formed, which in continuance were fashioned, verse 16. God wrote down the very number of fingers and toes that you would have. Everything about you. Jesus said it this way, that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He speaks of the precious thoughts of the Lord. God, even though he knows everything about you, still thinks good things about you as his child. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Have you ever felt like God couldn't possibly love you because of who you are? So you got to put on some kind of a front, some kind of a show. When you got to pray, you have to use a specific tone, certain words. No, God sees through all the pretense. He knows everything about you. Everything. He knows more about you than you know. What did he say in verse 6? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. God, you know a lot about me that I don't know about myself. And everything that God knows with all of this, he still says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. God still loves you. He thinks about you. In fact, he thinks so much, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, you think about me all the time. You think about me when I'm awake. You think about me when I'm asleep. And you know what happens? I fall asleep in your presence, and when I wake up the next morning, you're still there. Now, this is not just the words of a man. This is the inspired word of God. These are words that God had penned down for your benefit. He speaks in verses 19 through 22 of those who reject God, those who take the name of God in vain. And he says, I know what the end of them is. I know that you're going to destroy them, and so I've separated myself from them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, this isn't like I despise them. I want, your wrath to come down on them. It has to do with, I know what their end is, and so I hate them. I count them mine enemies. I've separated myself from them because I want to be right with you. And then he gives this prayer, and this is really what I want to focus in on tonight. Verses 23 and 24, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so what you really have here is this psalm of intimacy. It's a description of the deep, personal relationship that man has with God, but only because God has this relationship with man. These are not all the things I know about God. These are all the things God knows about me. And he's describing this on a level that is the knowledge that he's describing is deeper than the knowledge that a husband has for his wife or a mother has for her children, or that a man would have for his best friend or something like that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this, no. The knowledge of God is so much deeper. This is intimate. Now, the message that I preached to the young people was really looking at what I called the secret life. And I challenged them in regard to the reality that all of us has kind of three aspects of our life. We all have a public life, and we all have a private life, and we all have a secret life. The public life is that which everybody sees, that which we present as we go to the workplace, as we go to school, we go to church, the things that other people see in us. The private life would be the things that only those closest to us know, our family, our spouse, our best friends, the real you when you know, you kind of let your hair down a little bit. And I don't mean to say that we're all a bunch of fakes, but the reality is there are just things about your life and aspects of your life that you keep somewhat hidden from public view that those closest to you know of you. That's okay. We all have that. There's the public life. There's the private life. And hopefully there's not a major inconsistency between the two. But then there's the secret life. And everyone has a secret life. The secret life is those things that nobody knows about you but God. Your thought life. The things you do when no one else is around, no one else is looking. The way that you behave. The things that you think, the things that you see, the things that you talk to yourself about. The secret life. And what I was challenging the young people in was this. Everyone has a secret life, but having a secret life does not mean that you should have a life of secrecy. And you need to be careful that your private life and your public life are consistent and they are motivated by a secret life that is pleasing to the Lord. But tonight I really just want to focus in on this singular aspect of this tonight with you, and that is that God created you to have a secret life. But that secret life must belong to Him. It needs to be His. You see, because in this way that God has designed us, to where not everything about you can be known by anyone, there is an aspect of your life that belongs only to you and God. And that is a special thing. Think about this, the marriage relationship, the relationship between a husband and wife, God created to be the single most intimate human connection. To where there can be complete openness of expression and love between two individuals where there's nothing hidden and everything is open, because in that place, in that relationship, there is a special bond that comes by having a life that only belongs to the two of you. I'm thankful that my wife and I know things about each other that nobody else knows. In that aspect of our relationship, there is a bond that nobody else has. It's like this exclusive club, if I can put it that way. And it's just us. And it's wonderful. I believe that God created the marriage relationship to function in that way, because the two literally become one. And this is a good thing. It's a positive thing. But can I say this to you tonight? That there is even an aspect of your life that doesn't belong to your spouse. That they can't see. That they don't know. And ultimately that you can't even fully understand. But there's a God who knows, and in that aspect of your life, God invites you into a place of deep intimacy with Him. Deep fellowship and friendship on a level that no human being could ever possibly reach. That's a really incredible thought. But I believe that to be consistent with the Scriptures. That God wants you to walk more closely with Him than you do with anyone else. And in this prayer, David says to the Lord, with all that you know about me, verses 23 and 24, search me and know me. Now here's the thing. He's already said that God has searched him and knows him. So what is he saying, really? Well, in essence, he's giving God access. He's giving God permission, if you will, to reveal to David what God only sees. And he's asking him to look deep within the recesses of his heart, bring out to him anything that would be displeasing to him, and then says this, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, here's what he's saying. God, you who knows everything about me, I am giving you my secret life. In this place, I want to know you and follow you and be pleasing to you. Have you ever considered how much the Bible actually has to say about this secret life? Much more than we could talk about here tonight. But in the Psalms, we find a recurring theme. Something like this: God is my refuge. You know what a refuge is? It's a place that you run to. A place that you hide from everyone and everything else. A place that you go in time of trial where you find safety and protection. He's called our hiding place. Go back just to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 114. What does he say? Thou art my hiding place. He says the same thing over in Psalm 32. In Psalm 91, let's go back there. Look what he says here. Verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. All this language is descriptive of a relationship that you can have with God, where you have a place to go in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of burdens, in times where you need rest, that you can just run to the Lord and in Him find strength and peace and help and comfort. Because you have a relationship with God that is deep and it is real and it's very personal. This is what God wants for you. I fear that too often Christians really only know a relationship with God that exists in the public life. They know what it is to go to church. They know what it is to praise God in song in the great congregation. They know what it is to pray in the midst of the church. They know what it is to hear from God through the preaching of the Word of God. And all those things are necessary and good and helpful. But friend, this isn't where you really find your strength and your help. You find that in the secret place. And you need to have a personal walk with God. You need to give that secret life to God. And here's the trick that the devil throws at you. He keeps you so occupied with all the things and the busyness of life. You never take time to to really develop a genuine, intimate, personal walk with God. In fact, a lot of people find that because of maybe some burdens, some stresses, maybe some discouragement, even depression, that they're comfortable as long as they're around people, but they don't like silence. And they don't like to be alone. Because when they're alone with their thoughts, they find themselves overwhelmed. And so, in any free moment that they get, if there aren't people around, well, they try to surround themselves with friends and activity and all this, but if they don't have that, then even in the few quiet moments, what are they doing? Scrolling. TikTok videos, Candy Crush, I don't know, whatever it is. Why? Because they haven't really learned the secret life is a time that you and God get alone. When my heart is overwhelmed, Psalm 61 says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Do you have this relationship that David described? Lord, I know you know everything about me. But in this relationship in which you know me, I'm asking you to show me what you see in me. I'm asking you to expose the truth. I'm asking you to lead me in the way everlasting. Do you have a personal walk with God? We spent tonight just a few moments in prayer as a church family over a few requests. If we were to remove from your life prayer in the church, prayer around the dinner table, prayer maybe with your family, which you ought to be doing, if you took those things out, what would be left? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father which is in what? Secret. God wants you to have a secret life that belongs to Him. A hiding place where you can go and be alone with God. And if you will develop that, if you'll develop this relationship, listen, God has already searched you and known you, and God loves you. Here's the wonderful thing. And I don't mean this in some kind of a wishy-washy, you know, watered-down Christianity kind of way. I mean this in a very biblical sense. God, who knows everything about you, accepts you. And He accepts you on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're accepted in Him. You are loved by Him. Sometimes I talked about the intimacy of the marriage relationship, and it's always kind of cute to me to watch young couples who are just getting married, and there's kind of this initial awkwardness because they've just spent however many months trying to put their best foot forward and, you know, win the heart of the other person or whatever, and now they're starting to really understand who one another is, and there's kind of this apprehension and maybe a little bit of embarrassment and those kinds of things. Why? Well, because we have some insecurities about who we are. And I'm a little bit nervous about what now this person that I love is actually going to think about me. Here's what you can know. God, who knows everything about you, loves you, cares about you, and invites you into fellowship with Him. I mean, this relationship that you can have with God is so real and so deep, because the God, there are no surprises for God. There's nothing that you're going to expose to Him or bring out to. There's nothing He's going to find out about you that's going to be a deal breaker. Not at all. He already knows it all. And still loves you and still calls you into fellowship with Him and still tells you that, hey, I am your protector. I'm your comforter. I'm the one who strengthens you. I'm the one who forgives you. That's me. And then He says to come and give our burdens to Him. What a wonderful God we serve. One of the things that I love, if we were to read in 1 Samuel 1, we won't take the time to go there tonight. 1 Samuel 1 is where Hannah is there at the tabernacle there in Shiloh and praying to the Lord for a son. And Eli thinks that she's drunk because she's praying with such fervency. Her lips are moving, but she's not actually saying anything. And here's what she says to Eli. She says, I'm not drunken. But she says, I've poured out my soul unto the Lord. What a description. Have you ever poured out your soul to the Lord? I mean, poured everything out. If you haven't done that, and I would even say this, if you don't do that on a regular basis, you're missing out on the relationship that God wants you to have with Him. He wants you to know Him on a deep, personal, and intimate level that requires that you would come to Him with no pretense, no facade, just reality and truth, just you and God. There's a man that I know, I won't mention his name, it's been a long time since I've seen him. He was a different kind of guy. And I mean that in a very real sense. He was not your average Joe in a lot of ways. He just didn't quite kind of fit the mold, you know. But one of the things that I always respected about him was it was very evident and very obvious that his life was built upon his relationship with God. And one of the things that would happen if you knew him, there would be times that we'd be in a setting like this, people all around, and you could just look at him and see he's not really there. His mind is somewhere else. I actually talked to his wife about it one time, and she said, yeah, he gets that way sometimes. There will be something on his heart, and he just kind of disappears into the secret place for a while. She said, sometimes it'll be a few days. It's not like we don't see him, but he's just somewhere else. He goes on prayer walks. And now, I'm not saying you have to be like that. I'm not saying you have to be totally detached from the world around you. But friend, you need to learn what it is to get alone with God. You need to learn what it is to get alone with God and communicate with Him on a personal level in your prayer, in the reading of the Scriptures, not just, I'm reading the Bible because that's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm following a plan to do this for this year, so I'm going to muscle my way through it, but my mind is somewhere else. No, no, no. Open the Word and read the letter that was given to you by God, with the truth that He wants you to know for your life as He speaks to you. Do you have a close, personal relationship with God? If not, can I please challenge you tonight? If you are saved, you can have this. You are His child. And He wants you to know Him. And He's promised if you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. Carve out some time. Maybe it's the early morning. Maybe it's late at night when the rest of the family's gone to bed. Maybe it's some other time throughout the day where you just get alone. And just you and God. You develop a secret life that belongs to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for these truths given to us in Psalm 139 about your wonderful care for us, your love for us, your knowledge of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly seek you and just to embrace the relationship that we have with you. Lord, I thank you that you love us in spite of us. I pray that you'd help all of us to just go deeper in our relationship with you. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.